Rarely has mankind hesitated to eradicate the creatures that stand in the path of his conquest. If we find ritual extirpation, undesirable odors from another world.
The rest must be destroyed.
Is it possible in our dark past?
Watch them and pray.
Goo readings, ladies, gentlemen, government agents, people who tried to drink their own piss to cure COVID, only to unlock a new fetish. And anyone who might be listening, this is Close Encounters of the Podcast Kind. I'm your host, Tasker, and we have Nick.
I, for one, will say I think drinking piss is gross.
Yeah, I mean, it's technically not the worst thing you could put in your body, but it's also fucking disgusting.
There's a difference between being peed on and drinking pee. You know what I mean? I'm just kidding.
Right. Well, it's called a fetish for a reason, you know. It's just because it's technically sterile. I mean, I think it's the whole thing where, let me Google this. Is it safe to drink urine? See, I put urine instead of piss because I feel like that would give us a better result.
Dude, very smart. I like that.
Yeah, so drinking your own urine isn't advisable. It can introduce bacteria, toxins, and medications into your system. I did not think of that. Medications. Because what you took, there might still be like a little something-something in the piss. There's no reason to think that drinking urine would benefit your health in any way. There are far more effective routes for getting a high dose of vitamins and minerals. So it's probably harmless, but it is risky. If it's somebody else's especially. So, you know, let's see, urine is high in urea, sodium, potassium, and creatinine. I thought it said creatine for a bit, so I was like, pump off of that.
It's time, buddy. It's time to, you know what? I just changed my mind. If there's creatine in there, buddy, I'm going to drink out of it. Now, here's a question for you.
Yeah.
While you're Googling urine, can you please Google and see if it does cure COVID?
Does drinking urine cure COVID? So, and if any of you guys are a little behind on the news here, is that there was a high up anti-vaxxer that has said that urine therapy is not even just the cure for COVID, but I think he said it's the antidote for the vaccine.
Oh, wow. The antidote for the vaccine. So, here's something funny that I've learned in the past. You can't slap therapy on the end of a word and think it works and think you're fucking being a Jesus figure.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I don't know if we talked about it in the show or not, but I think the guy who suggested drinking urine as a cure, I think already had a piss fetish. He's just using his platform to normalize it
and increase the amount of people who are willing to pee in his mouth.
Exactly. And then hoping that maybe even if there's there's a couple hundred that are like, fuck this is gross and weird. There's going to be another that maybe, you know, like we said in the intro, awakens kind of a fetish. And now he's got a whole circle jerk of buddies willing to pee on each other.
He's got a whole harem of piss just looking for a mouth.
And the irony of it here is that's the fucking easiest way to catch COVID. It's just fucking have urine groups. So to answer your question, no, doctors are slamming anti-vaxxers' claim that drinking urine can cure COVID. Fact check, no evidence that quote unquote urine therapy cures COVID. Honestly, dude, if you fucking believe that drinking your own piss or drinking other people's piss is going to cure COVID, and that's our answer right there. If somebody comes up to you and says the cure for COVID is drinking somebody else's piss, that man has a piss fetish and he's trying to force it on you. You are being manipulated.
Nefarious, man. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, if that anti-vaxxer guy, if that was his goal all along, was to increase the increase his probability that he will get somebody to pee in his mouth by making a statement like that, that people are probably following, by the way, some people,
yeah,
then that's almost genius enough to admire. Just saying.
Yeah, weirdly brilliant. Kind of smart, actually. Like, because people are like, oh, it's fucking retard. Like, thinking like, I shouldn't say that. But it's what? Like, yeah.
Oh, wait, are we not allowed to say the R word on this podcast
I think we established we give the R word a pass because we're just like, dude, like, what? Like, we can't censor everything. And it's going to slip.
That's true.
It's going to slip. It has slipped. It's happened plenty of times before. I think we're just overlooking it now. So if you don't like that, sorry.
Stop being retarded. Yeah.
But some people are like, this guy is just like talking out of his ass. He's so dumb. I can't believe it's like, no, he's just fucking smart as fuck. He knows very well that this is not a cure for COVID, but the balls it takes to go on a platform at this world pandemic that's making people either die or lose their sense of taste forever. It's just saying, hey, you know, it's a good fix for it. Blowjobs. You know, it's a good fix for it. Ass eating. Like, you know, it's, and people are falling for it. Like, that's, it's evil, but it's a well played.
Well played. Well played is the best way you can put it, man, because that's some nefarious shit right there.
Yeah, and I just, you know, man, if you fall for it, like I said, you deserve to drink that piss then. If you think it's gross and you had a terrible time, you, dude, are you kidding me? That's like me going, like, what was it, that one, there was this meme forever ago. It was like a text where it's just like, oh yeah, I have this like condition called urethemis, whatever the fuck, and basically it's an internal ear condition where my ears actually get so cold on the outside that it goes more towards the inside and can actually damage my my internal eardrum, which is really dangerous for my hearing. So I need to have a constant case of something to keep my ears, you know, at like a higher temperature, so that way it prevents the damage from happening. So that's why he was like texting a girl. He's like, so that's why I need you to come over and I need you to wrap your thighs around the sides of my head in order, like, the fucking obvious scam. Anybody's yeah. saying that some, if anybody's telling you, hey, put one of your body parts on mine to fix a condition, like, dude, they can fucking suck it. Like, well, not literally, because then they win. Well, you don't want them to, because that's what they're trying to get out of you. But yeah. There's no fucking way. Like, it's just, if you fall for it, like, unfortunately, like, bro, come on, man. Like, oldest trick in the book.
Yeah. And that's, look, I would be especially concerned if your doctor says something like that. Yes. Okay.
And doctors can be wrong and doctors can be full of shit. Like, I mean, the ones that came in, that was saying that hydroxychloroquine is like the cure for COVID and stuff like that. There are just a bunch of like crackpot, like shitheads who just like barely scraped by in med school and like don't, and were paid off by Trump to talk about this. Hydroxychloroquine is what they use to treat malaria and lupus. Like, it's, it doesn't work, but you know, but they put a white coat on and, you know, doctors can be wrong. You gotta, and even doctors who are like, you know, good at what they do, like, you know your body, like, they don't know what's exactly going on. And if there's some shit going on, you have to kind of fight for it, especially in America, because we have the worst healthcare system in the world.
Yeah, dude. So when you're paying $30,000 for a fucking checkup in yeah. America, they better be damn sure they know what they're doing, man. Because I, for one, am sick and tired. I have a couple things I could probably go to the doctors for. Nothing major, you know, but like, I get these mad headaches in the same exact spot every once in a while. I don't want to bore you all with my fucking ailments, but the thing is, I could probably go get a checkup, but I don't want to, because even with health insurance, it's a fucking nightmare. All right. Yeah.
No, I know my brother's been having like a lot of issues, and just, they just keep saying, oh no, you're fine. Just do this. And he's not fine. He hasn't been better in years. And it's like, dude, it's like fucking college. We're paying, like, you know, we're getting robbed for it. We're paying $40,000 for a less than exemplar, for like a like off brand community college education. Like, I feel like I got a better education at my community college than I did at my actual college. And like, I really have to emphasize how fucking ridiculous that is. And same thing with doctors. Like, you know, we're paying a shit ton for some fucker who's on his pretentious high horse to walk in and say, oh, you just need to lose some weight, you'll be fine. Like, there was a post forever ago where this girl was like having all these like stomach issues. She went to the doctor like, oh, you just need to lose some weight. And she did lose some weight and nothing fucking happened. And they're like, well, no, you just need to keep up with your diet. She went online and somebody was just like, that sounds like Crohn's. Like, you should tell them to test you for Crohn's. So she went in and had to like put her foot down and said, test me for Crohn's. They're like, okay. And she had fucking Crohn's disease. Like, it's just, you gotta like, it's just, it's fucked up, man. Like, you have to be your own doctor, because actual doctors, they're either A, super over encumbered and just cannot fucking possibly give everybody the attention they deserve. And two, some doctors just don't give a shit. So it's like, you know, whether you get one or the other, there is a part you have to play in it. And welcome to fucking North American healthcare. Like, it's fucking brutal for everybody involved, the doctors included. The only people who are really winning in this situation are pharmaceutical CEOs.
Yeah, that's, see, now that's an industry to get into, my friend.
Yeah.
If you can't beat them,
just join them.
Just join them, man. Become the enemy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as long as you're okay with knowing that your decisions are literally killing people. And if you could sleep with that and knowing that you're just part of the problem, I mean, sure, I guess. I don't know. I'm hoping this whole bullshit gets dismantled soon. Ever since fucking Reagan fucked our entire nation and turned everything in America into a corporation, basically, to make the government work like a company. And our whole, I don't know, medical, you know, industry that we need to survive. Like, I don't know, man. There's a lot of shit to be mad about today. Welcome to the kickback episode, everyone. These are episodes where we just talk about whatever's kind of on our mind.
Yeah, speaking about what's on my mind, you brought up Reagan, dude, and Mrs. Reagan was a throat goat, dude. She was known for giving some of the most wicked head in Hollywood before she became the first lady.
Is that so? What was her name? Nancy Reagan?
Yes. Throat goat.
Throat goat, huh? Let me see if she looks the type. Oh.
Like, look at old Nancy Reagan photos, the black and white ones. And then picture her fucking slobbing on knobs. In she old looks, school Hollywood.
Oh, okay. Ooh, yeah. Unfortunately, I totally can see that. Where's the proof?
It's Hollywood. Rumors.
It's kind of safe to assume it's probably happened. Like,
there's just a lot of rumors that came from that era from people talking about it. There's no leaked like footage from the 1950s like of her like given head, but there's a lot of stories that have come out of people saying that she gives a wicked blowjob.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's great. Like with Weinstein, the way he treated women was a rumor until they fucking had a criminal investigation on it. And then it turned out to all be true. In fact, worse than the rumors.
Yeah, man. Hollywood's a smelly, sticky place. And you usually try and, don't get involved with it. All right. Don't get involved with Hollywood. It ain't worth it, dude.
But speaking of throat goats in Hollywood and, you know, being famous, how about an Elvis fact?
Sure. Let's do it.
Yep. So we're back to our, this is our usual, segment. And that's the fun part, I think, with the kickbacks is we get experimenting with whatever segments we want. A nice recurring one has been, we do an Elvis fact every single week, because of one, I think it was just some like offhand thing we said at the end of like one of our episodes of like, the idea of like the shittiest, like bit we could do, or like the most low effort like bit we can do, and we just kept doing it. So Elvis actually helped to eradicate polio. In 1955, a scientist named Jonas Salk finally invented a cure for one of the world's worst diseases, polio. But after a year, doctors were still having trouble getting teenagers to take the vaccine. They needed somebody they loved to take it and to do it in a very public way. Prior to his performance on the Ed Sullivan Show, Elvis posed for the press and got a polio vaccine from doctors. A photo like the one above was published in the New York Times the next day. Incidence of the disease went down 90% between 1950 and 1960.
Jeez, man. If you see the king do it, you do it.
Weirdly relevant, too. I don't think we had any major, huge vaccine. Well, because I feel like most young people are... they're the only ones taking the vaccine. The problem is the previous generation. They're the ones who are all against it.
Yeah. I think the closest thing we had was when Biden did it. Remember when Biden did it?
That's not going to convince anybody, dude. Nobody gives a fuck what Biden thinks. Did you get that thing I sent you where it's the clip of like Biden when he's like stumbling on the stairs? That one, which is a fucking hilarious clip, by the way. But they took a still from that of him like kind of like half falling over, but they edited in a hand like with that like vibrator control app. Yeah. Someone was setting off the vibrator thing.
Oh, dude, those things are so crazy, bro. I would not wear one, but they seem interesting.
So I got to ask then, because you seem like somebody who might know the answer to this. When it comes to the, because obviously I know with like for the female version, it's like that little pill thing, right? And you stick it in your vagine, and then there's like you can control the level of vibration remotely, right?
Right. It's like attached to panties or something.
Yeah. And so for guys, is it like a thing that wraps around your wiener, or is it like up the butt, or both?
Now, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to it, but I can speculate and tell you that it's probably up the butt, because I feel like dudes who are into that stuff are probably okay with butt stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point. If you're at that level of like fetish, then I'd imagine it doesn't really matter.
But you're right. There might be some kind of cock ring version.
I'm Googling it right now. Screaming oh, my secret ring for him. Remote control vibrator cock ring. Multi-speed. Yeah. 10 function rechargeable vibrating male vibrator penis ring vibe couples massager with remote control ring.
No shit. Sounds awesome.
Yeah. How many times can you use the word ring in a sentence? But let me see. So I imagine at least for the male version, it's a little bit more, you know, depending on if you nut or not. Like, I guess it could be a little bit more sanitary, but screaming, oh, that's hilarious. That's just good marketing.
How much is it?
Let's see. It's on it does not have Prime delivery, but
put it on Amazon.
It's $35. Let's see. Yeah, I was going to say, thank God. I was looking to see the buying options, and it just says new. So I'm like, yeah, better not be fucking used.
I would have paid more for a used one.
Get all that sweet crust that's been left there. Let's see. Step one, to wear your new Screaming O, My Secret Ring for Him, start with a flaccid or semi-erect penis. Stretch the ring wide and carefully put the scrotum and testicles through the ring.
Has to go in?
All of it.
Yep.
God. And then step two, next you pull the penis through the ring and adjust it at the base of the penis. Do not bend or push an erect penis though, as this can cause injury. And as your penis, step three, as your penis grows erect, the cock ring will feel tighter. Using lubricant can help make it easier to put on. Just take care to not accidentally pull on pubic hair! ! Oh, they're fun and friendly.
Oh, good Lord. Okay. Now tell me about this remote. What's going on with the remote? What's the functions that we got going?
I'm trying to see. It's not telling me a whole lot. Okay, here we go. Maybe there's stretchy true silicone perineum ring. Holy fuck, it's a perineum. Perineum? Is that what it's called?
Frenulum?
I think
a frenulum.
So. I think I see. So it is like, you know, you put it goes right at the base. So it's right at the bottom of everything. That's where it's supposed to be. Interesting. And then, oh, dude, that's kind of cool. There's the cock ring, and then there's a remote ring. Like, it looks like it's a ring you put on your finger, so it's super discreet.
What?
Yep. Discreet push button remote control, looks like an ordinary finger ring and works up to 50 feet away. Made of silicone, fits almost any sized finger. Oh, that's so, it looks like it's just a button. And I guess if you press the button, that's it, like, you know, it cycles, like kind of like a massager. We just press every button. So you hope to fucking God you get the right one at first. Otherwise, you got to cycle through all of them, and you have to go through that hardest one at the end.
That sounds, honestly, let me look this up real quick. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, that's crazy. Oh, wait, we got to look at reviews. One star, ring doesn't work. I had this product before, which is why I was astounded to find it on Amazon. Oh, it's one of those where the product itself is good, the name brand is good, but when Amazon sells it, they get all like the rejects.
Oh, gotcha.
I love this product. First experienced this on a trip to Vegas.
Wow, dude. My fucking degenerate, dude.
Oh, man. So let's see. Male remote vibrator. Let me see if there's any booty ones. Let's see. Vibrating remote toys. Let him control you. Special offer from Love and Sense. NSE.com. Perfect long distance relationship gift. It's not a terrible idea. Let's see his sex toy. Oh, that's more like a fleshlight. I see. That's so funny, dude. They have like apps and like Bluetooth, and they're just like advertising it. They're sex toys that you can link to an app. So that way your partner, so you can control the dildo's like vibration. And the lady can control the fleshlight's vibration.
And from any distance, basically.
Yeah, basically.
That sounds pretty fun.
That's hilarious. That's really funny. What a future we live in. Let's see, I'm just trying to find if there's a butt one, you know?
Why not? Let's figure it out.
Male vibrating prostate massager with 3 powerful motors, 9 vibration modes for wireless remote anal play, unisex waterproof anal butt plug G-spot vibrator. Okay, we get it. You're hashtagging. Holy fuck. God damn. I love the fucking, the models, this like shredded dude just kind of just like leaning over with his ass like kind of in the air to imply he's got a fat fucking dildo in his butt. Oh, man. I think we were even trying to like make our this kickback episode a little bit more serious and see how far that went. Oh, it's waterproof.
Oh, what do you know?
Oh, how cool. See, I don't get why it's a male. It says it's male, but it has, you know, two little appendages.
I don't know. I don't know enough about this stuff to really give you an answer.
Yeah. Well, we're learning a lot about it on the podcast today. It's getting a very sexually charged kickback episode. This is a funny recurring thing. So, yeah, well, the more you know, and I guess, yeah, so I guess it's a little bit more of a thing than we expected, but the conclusion here is it's more widespread than we thought, but it is not eligible for Amazon Prime, and you cannot buy it used because I think that's actually illegal.
What is?
Buying used sex toys.
Oh, it's got to be. And yeah. if it's not, then it's fucking just an awful idea.
Yeah, it's a biohazard. It's a terror, especially it is not COVID safe.
Dude, now I'm just looking at cock rings. All right, we gotta stop.
Yeah, okay, let's move ridiculous. On to, yeah, let's go back to what we were saying. We want to talk more about aliens. So I found an article that says 9 things we learned about aliens in 2021. Are you interested?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, my God, yes. Let me, yes, please. Enlighten me.
Let's see. Number 1, UFOs are real and the government knows it. In June, the Pentagon released the highly anticipated report detailing 144 UFO encounters between 2004 and 2021. And we actually covered that in episode number 81. We did a full deep dive onto the 2021 Navy UAP UFO report where we read through the entire thing and were grossly disappointed, if I do recall.
Yeah, it was definitely not a revelation. It was just basically more or less the same shit, just in a compiled place.
Basically. The article also says the report was meant to assess the threat posed by unidentified aerial phenomena, UAP, a term that I know you really hate, and officially concerned several UFO sightings that had, until then, only been shared through viral media. On one hand, the brief 9-page assessment confirmed that most of the UAP reported probably do represent physical objects, which range from birds and balloons to foreign surveillance equipment and top secret U.S. government projects. However, anyone hoping for an acknowledgement of extraterrestrial intelligence may have been let down. So that didn't tell us anything. Okay, number 2, black holes can be alien powerhouses. While alien hunters spend plenty of time searching for habitable planets beyond our solar system, a study published in July in the journal Monthly Notices of the Royal Astronomical Society warns that scientists shouldn't overlook nature's most extreme objects, black holes. Because black holes can radiate up to 100,000 times more energy than a star like our sun, they may make tempting targets for alien civilizations looking to power their interstellar enterprises.
That's an interesting idea. I've honestly never thought about that before.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't think they have a whole lot of, like, you know, much to back. I think that feels more like a theory than like a, you know, something we learned, but that's interesting.
Yeah, because I think when I think about, you know, power for alien civilizations, I just imagine that they've already come up with some spectacular fucking power source and they don't need any external help. But there might be some alien civilizations out there that need external help. And what better way? I mean, I'm not a fucking astronomer, but what better way than with a black hole, I guess, if what they're saying is true about power.
If you're able to to get space travel as a daily practice, you got some crazy energy solution. Like you just need it. There's no way to do it without it. So something to think about. Number 3, alien planets may look nothing like Earth. Yawn, could have guessed that. 4, one of Saturn's moons still holds the potential of life. Oh, that's interesting. Let's see. The methane wafting from Enceladus. Sure. Saturn's 6th largest moon may be a sign that life teams in the moon's subsurface area. I think we've heard of that before. Scientists may be ignoring alien junk in our own solar system. I mean, I'm sure we could have guessed that, right?
There's probably shit floating around here that's drifted over galaxies, you know?
I bet. That's so weird to think about. Thousands of alien worlds could have watched humans grow up. Yawn, could have guessed that. 7, there's no best way to communicate with aliens. Yawn, could have guessed that too.
Actually, yeah. But the best way to communicate with aliens is clearly through the Pleiadian channelers. I think that's probably the most efficient way.
I was debating doing a Pleiadian scam just so I can get money from my dad. Speaking of which, did I tell you, my dad has now purchased some ivermectin, the horse dewormer.
What's wrong with your dad? What's going on with your dad, man? Is he good? Like up here, you know?
We talked recently and he kind of had the discussion again of vaccines are so dumb. Like they don't even prevent COVID. It's like, dad, vaccines have never prevented anything. Oh, well, how many boosts are we going to get? It's like, yeah, there's plenty of vaccines that took 4 or 5 different doses for it to really get the job done. Oh, well, back then vaccines prevented things. What about polio? Well, polio is not a virus. It's you can't cure a virus. And that's been known for forever. And then he just started kind of get there kind of comes a point when you see him starting to grasp for straws and you're just kind of can we just please talk about something else?
So what do you think's going on? Has he always been susceptible to this kind of stuff, or is something going on?
No, he's a tried and true skeptic. He's actually probably one of the most skeptical people I've ever met.
Maybe his skepticism has betrayed him this time.
Yeah.
He's or maybe too skeptic about it,
Maybe so. Or maybe he's just retired and bored.
Shit, dog. If I was retired and bored, I'd probably be doing the same thing. In fact, I usually do the same thing. The only difference is now I can't joke about it because it's been found out that a month ago I broke kayfabe. And I fucked myself on that. So now I can't be but it is a fucking, it's not going to, I'm fucking not going to do anything for my body. I can't say vaccine. Shit like that anymore.
But probably for the better, especially because, what's his face? Alex Jones is, they're now making a big push to because of the misinformation spread. No, not Alex Jones. Joe Rogan's podcast. Remember, we're back to punching up because we're trying to start shit. Joe Rogan's podcast is under fire because he's just one of the largest perpetrators of misinformation for COVID and stuff like that. And so now there's a whole coalition of doctors that are getting together to be hey, Spotify, you need to fucking do something about this. This is we have so many cases because of what Joe Rogan is saying.
Yeah, man. He's the biggest podcast on the planet. And all he talks about is horse tranquilizer, DMT, and fucking different forms of martial arts. And it's two of those are dangerous. One of them is dumb. And look, I like his inquisitive nature. I've watched episodes of his podcast on YouTube before.
It's good.
But it's good. It's entertaining. But that's the problem. It's mostly just entertainment, and a lot of people take Joe Rogan's word as and his guest's word as fucking help me out
fact
law fact yeah
yeah. And I think that's a common problem, is people, we're at this weird age, especially because now the news is more of an entertainment source than it is actual reporting of events. And I think a lot of that too is coming, we're getting to this point where people are blurring the line between entertainment and reality, where they're starting to believe what's meant to, get a rise. Cause I think anything that is not really factual, but more of just to get you riled up or get an emotional response, I think that falls into the category of entertainment. I think that's an entertainment thing. So when our news is starting to become more like entertainment, but we're just branding it, we're calling it the news. It's, it's not really people, that line's starting to, it's not good when that line gets hazy, because that's when people, like you said, start taking people who don't know what the fuck they're talking about, people who are not qualified to talk about certain things, we're starting to believe what they say. And I mean, I'm no fucking different. I've had that where, there's somebody in the news, or there's somebody in some entertainment thing, and it's they said blank, and you're swayed to believe it a little bit until you're wait, they know just about the subject as I do. They just have a platform. That's the only difference.
Yeah, man, we have a platform now, and I have a lot of fucking wacky ideas, hopefully people out there are taking it too seriously. But also hope you are.
Especially the cock ring stuff, huh?
I mean, is it weird that I can't stop thinking about that? I'm kind of what is it like,
It's okay. let me level with you. Me too.
I really want to experience it.
It's just, it's got me curious. Like, there's just, I don't know, man, maybe that's just a natural progression of growing older where you're just like, oh, you know, maybe I want to try some new shit. But like, that sounds interesting. And, you know, you could give it to your partner and let them fuck around with you a little bit. Maybe it could be exciting.
Yeah, dude. And like, I think it's about time because I'm going to get on the fucking, I'm going to get on my fucking soapbox for a second. Look, every lady and their sister are using toys, right? Mm-hmm. That's just the day and age we live in. We are in the OnlyFans era of humanity. Now there's a stigma against men using toys. And I understand that because generally it's paired with men who can't get laid, right? Yeah. Because they're like, oh, you know, like men just want to get their dicks wet. So why would they need toys? Why would they want to have fun when they masturbate? Like, you know, is it more of just like a chore? No, it sounds like fun. And I think that we should reduce the stigma of men using toys. I'm not talking straight up fleshlights. I'm just talking like, why not a fucking vibrating cock ring? Sounds dope, dude. Like, and I think that we should be unashamed to say that. And I think that we've been held down by women for too long, dude. And I'm fighting the matriarchy on this. I'm tired of it.
I see. Well, and I think also too, maybe there are a lot more people that use it than we think. They're just not talking about it because
yes. It's
like, they're the ones probably yelling the loudest, like, yeah, man, I ain't going to use none of that fucking weird pink shit that women use. Like, hell no. Whereas that they probably had the fucking remote prostate stimulator in as they were talking about it.
Yeah, and they're afraid to say it because of the stigma, man. I think it's time that we trample those, and I think we should just get on their level, dude. Let's just start using cock rings and fucking, I don't know, whatever they use. I don't know. I don't know much about men's sex toys.
Make it into a statement and be like, yeah, I'm wearing a cock ring. What the fuck are you going to do about it, bitch? Like,
yeah,
hell yeah. Be proud of it. Like, be just like, you know, I feel like this is not as big of a problem as we're making it seem. I think
not at all.
Of people don't give a shit.
We're just justifying our wanting to use one, which is fine. I mean, I was joking about the matriarchy, by the way. I know, ladies, I know you got it tough, but, you know.
You just got to do what you got to do. Do what makes you happy. As long as it's not hurting other people or yourself. Like, hey, you do you. But yeah, it's a very curious thing. I don't know if I'll report my findings on it if I do go forth with it, but we'll see.
I'm not going to report it either. I'm falling right into the stigma. And also, like, I don't like giving too much information on the podcast, like, about myself. So
because, see, we're not reporting because we're pussies. We're not reporting because that's our fucking personal sex life.
Yeah, and we'll joke about sex, and we'll joke about fapping and stuff, but that's just it. Everything we say is a joke. I've never once said anything on this podcast that's really something I've done, and I aim to keep it that way. So, like, if I do fucking try a cock ring, you guys will never know about it.
Exactly. You might joke about it. You might say the truth, but are we making it up? We don't know. Perfect segue to this next subject here, VR porn. Overrated.
Overrated is what I've heard, my friend.
Yeah. Too much work, too much setup, too much, you know, if you're thumbing through videos and shit, you know, you got to fucking find the thingy. I don't want to go too much into it because, you know, I don't, there's only so much I can, make up about it. Cause it's a joke. one of my favorite, like, allegories about, you know, masturbating versus full sexual intercourse. God, we just always go back to fucking sex ed on our kickbacks. But if having sex is like eating a steak, it's, you know, it's luxurious. It is, you know, to a degree can have like a level of refinement, but also, you can get a little, you know, messy with it. You know, you could have some fun with it too, but there's a dignity to it. There's a sort of like, you know, it's highly sought after. You can't, like, sometimes you can't get it all the time. Sure, 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 sure. If jerking off is more, would be more like a hot dog, you know, it's easy to get, it's cheap, you could do it, get it basically whenever, you know, it's a quick like buzz of just like, oh fuck yeah, like something yummy, something a little, you know, it's quick and easy. And then the joke is like, you know, if you have steak every single night, sometimes you just want a fucking hot dog. Now if a hot dog is just jerking off, VR porn is like dressing up a hot dog like you would like a steak. Like, you know, you got like your garlic butter, you got this whole thing where you get to a point where it's like, yeah, it tastes better, but like that kind of defeats the purpose of the whole hot dog is like, well, yeah, it's this cheap, quick, easy thing covered in all this luxurious stuff. And I mean, like, yeah, I guess it's better. But like, isn't the whole point of a hot dog is that it's quick and easy and good as it is?
Now, that's a really good analogy. I like that a lot. Makes sense to me. Now, I've never experienced VR porn, but I can imagine it being a pain. And also with my general experience with VR, not the clearest picture, right? So like what I'm imagining that would be very immersion breaking, right? A bunch of pixels that look like they're having sex. Interesting, right?
Completely immersion breaking. And like, and obviously I'm just joking because this, I would never, but let's say, you know, for the sake of argument, I did happen to go on and thumb through some things and try to, you know, find a good video and say, for the sake of argument, maybe I did find something that had like, it was in like 360p and I'm just like, and it's like right in your face. And you're like, this looks like an abstract painting. And the funniest hypothetical video I saw was, I don't know what you call it, like the vanishing point or whatever of the video where it's supposed to, there's a specific vanishing point it needs. So that way, the video can like wrap around your head in like the perfect spot. So that way it feels like more attuned to your body. They don't always get it right. The worst one I ever saw was the vanishing point was like all the way at the bottom. So if you don't know anything about like perspective and all that stuff, the further the vanishing point away is, like the farther the stretch is or the wider the lens. So the vanishing point was way super. So the whole fucking video was just like, it was like, it was just stretched and pulled down at like 100 feet below me. So it was incomprehensible. It was just all just, it was just nonsense.
So not only was it VR porn, you're hypothetically fapping to, but you were doing it in the fifth dimension, and that didn't help at all because none of the thing made sense.
Yeah, it just looked like you only saw like the top tip of it just like stretched down and with like, oh, like what's up, big brother? Like whatever the fuck. That's not the one I watch.
Dude, you just fucking goddamn played yourself. You sick son of a bitch. Holy shit.
That's all hypothetical.
I'm surprised you didn't say Oni-chan. Yeah, hypothetical, yes.
Yeah, so That's some opinions about all that stuff. So, you know, if
hypothetically,
yes. So if you're looking to buy a VR set purely for the porn, buy it for the games, man. It's not worth it. The games are do it for that experience, because the porn thing is going to be kind of, it's a lot of money to be disappointed, you know?
Yeah. Play it for VR chat. Shit, that's fun. Play it for Blades and Sorcery. That's also fun. If you're feeling particularly violent,
yes,
you know, and you got to get some aggression out. If you feel like smashing somebody's head on a table, play that game.
Blades and Sorcery is pretty fun. And it's a workout, man. I was sweating, so.
Yeah, my shoulder hurt after I fucking played that game.
Well, I think it's funny, too, because you start off all just like, oh, I'm just playing a video game. And just sort of, you know, you're a little bit more self-conscious about it. But dude, by the fucking end, I was like dual wielding like two blades and like doing all the fucking like poses and stuff like it's, you just got to let yourself like let go. It's fun.
It's fucking fun, man. I love that shit. So yeah, do it for the right reasons. Don't disappoint yourself. Just watch some good go. You know what? Actually, instead of some good old fashioned porn videos, why don't you go get some good old fashioned magazines? Right, live in the '90s for a little bit, dude.
Now that's a flex right there. If you're like, imagine you go, it's like you're talking with your bro and stuff like that. It's like, oh yeah, watch this video and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, what kind of shit you looking at? It's like, bro, I got fucking Penthouse and Playboy. Like, what a fucking. Is that more Chad than watching porn?
Oh, dude, that is like giga Chad stuff. Like if you go home with like a Maxim or something. Dude, I remember when I was a kid, I used to look at the Maxims in the bookstores and stuff, because it's like at the time they didn't bookstores, magazine stores, all that shit. They didn't care about that stuff, right? Because it was like the early 2000s or whatever. And people weren't all up in arms about like fucking, you know, whatever they are now. So I was like, you know, you would be walking and you'd look in and there'd be like fucking boom, a Maxim right there. And you're like, hey, that is something I'm into. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think, was there a time where you could even thumb through it? Cause I know there came a point where they started putting them in plastic sleeves because probably they had too many issues of people jerking off to them or something.
I think by that time they had already put them in sleeves. I don't remember being able to thumb through it, but you could definitely look at the cover.
Yeah. Yeah. And that back in that those days, man, that was enough.
That was enough for a fucking little 6 year old being like, hey, what's that? You know,
different times, man. Crazy how we progress. Anyways,
now I got now it. I have to go fucking 25 pages deep on the pH to find the perfect fucking video.
Dude, ain't that after fucking page after you've done every filter and it's just you go through the whole thing. Most relevant isn't always the best. Hypothetically, and also too,
hypothetically, like, you know,
and sometimes, and dude, there's like, you know, sometimes you're like, okay, well then maybe next, my next best thing is let's click on the top sort by rating. And then you just realize the fucking internet's filled a bunch of degenerates and all the top rated shit's all weird.
All the, okay. Now, hypothetically, if I were to look at a result page of any filter, the top rating will always be something about step siblings. Every single time. And I'm fucking tired of it, man. Hypothetically. Because it's sickening to think that this is how far we've come. We've become so desensitized to like sex and attraction that now we have to like, hey, maybe my fucking stepsister wants me to bang her. You know, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it was definitely a phase that went too far. And I think my girlfriend, and she had a one of the general ed classes in college is sex ed. It's just kind of the easiest one to do. And it's fun. So she was in one of those classes, and one of the guest speakers was a porn star. And I had one of those guys too when I had that class, and he was the funniest motherfucker. Like he started the class, he was like, hey, my name is such and such, I'm a male porn star. Some of you might not recognize me like this, but some of you might recognize this, and starts unzipping his pants. And everyone just like, and he's just like, no, I'm just kidding. And it was the best start to a lecture ever. But
what was his name?
I don't remember. I do not remember, but damn. I should have. That would have been really funny. But she had this one porn star, and one of the questions somebody had asked was about the stepbro, stepsis porn trend. And he was just like, please, can you guys stop fucking asking for it? Like, it's so awkward to film. None of us like doing it. Like, and if you didn't know, big fucking surprise, porn's fake. They're all actors. They're not actually step siblings. Yeah, they hate doing it. It's like being a big like Shakespearean actor, and then you have to play fucking the Three Stooges. Like, it's just like they hate doing it. And it's kind of funny that the actors are there just as miserable.
That sucks, man. Yeah, like let's move on. You know, let's hit the reset button. Let's fucking figure out, you know, something else. Like, I don't want to dwell on this too long, hypothetically. Mm-hmm. But I just think that society's going downward, and I think also that furries are probably the catalyst to all this. Yeah. I think there's nothing they wouldn't do, and they might have propagated this whole step sibling thing. Now I think we need to, you know, get to the core of things, take care of the furries, and then we shouldn't have any more problems with this.
Right. Yeah, it's a good thing we don't watch any porn at all.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Ever. No, that's, we would not, like, this is all hypothetical. We don't know. We're just kind of stabbing in the dark here, you know?
Yeah, I've never once in my life ever watched it, and I don't plan on doing it. So, no, you know,
because I value my mind and my body.
Yes. Yes, because I care so much about my junk.
Right. Okay, let's finish off this article really quick. Number 8, our own technology might be getting in the way of discovering extraterrestrials. Also pretty obvious, I feel like. Alien abductions could be lucid dreams. That just feels like a really poor explanation. This article wasn't super good.
What website is it from?
Livescience.com.
Hmm.
Yeah, whatever. How about MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network? This is actually, I'm surprised we haven't been doing this before, but let's check on them. Let's see if they got any news for us, huh?
Let's see what my brethren at and my sister in at fucking MUFON have to say recently. Yeah,
are you a member?
I am a member.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I couldn't remember that correctly, but yeah, good shit. Let's see what they got. January 7th by Bob Spearing. Wow, what happened over Pittsburgh on New Year's Day? Apparently, under cloudy skies, the Pennsylvania city of Pittsburgh endured a phenomenal aerial event, but cloudy skies left residents and ufologists with only auditory residual effects. Pittsburgh was rattled by a sonic boom on January 1st. NASA's answer is quick and definitive. A nearby infrasound station registered the blast wave from the meteor as it broke apart. The data enabled an estimate of the energy at 30 tons of TNT, NASA told Facebook. If we make a reasonable assumption as to the meteor's speed, 45,000 miles per hour, we can ballpark the object size at about a yard in diameter with the mass close to half a ton, it said. Had the object not entered Earth's atmosphere under cloudy conditions, the possibility existed Pittsburgh would have seen a momentous belied entry as bright as the moon. Oh, so it was just a meteor?
Wait, it was a yard long? And how heavy?
The energy is 30 tons of TNT. So that's the energy it had of blasting through our atmosphere. So this is just a meteor. So this wasn't a anything extraterrestrial, but a mass of half a ton.
Half a ton at a yard. Wait, what's a yard? Isn't that 3 feet?
1 foot is 0.3 yards.
Okay, so it's about 3 feet then, right?
Yeah.
So 3 feet in wide?
I think that's
diameter.
So diameter is like a circle.
Aren't meteors usually spherical or at least like...
No, they're rocks.
Right.
Yeah, so they're not going to be a circle. They're just... They're rocks. They take whatever fucking shape they take.
What shape was this one?
I don't know. Something that could be a yard long.
Oh, it was length?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see. But it was half a ton?
Yes. Yeah, half a ton. So
1,000 pounds for 3 feet.
Yeah.
That's fucking dense, man.
That's some dense fucking rock. But also they say a lot of that was just sort of like ballpark. So probably less, but I don't know.
Wow. Shit, dude. Pittsburgh. I don't know. Who cares, man? Who cares about Pittsburgh? No offense if you guys are from Pittsburgh.
Nice.
Pittsburgh, really unlucky that night. They could have seen some cool shit.
That could have been neat, but no alien. Let's see. MUFON is saddened by the passing of Dr. R. Leo Sprinkle. Well-known UFO researcher, Dr. R. Leo Sprinkle died this past week. He's a professor of psychology at the University of Wyoming. MUFON joins the ufology community in mourning his passing. The man was not only brilliant, but a friend to many, many experiencers throughout the year. Close to MUFON's Colorado State Director, Kate Gabrowski, who wrote an entire book about the correspondences Dr. Sprinkle received over the decades of the people he's helped. For those of you unfamiliar, Katie has helped us to post the short biography. He's had a bunch of books out. Increasingly known UFO circles as a researcher of contactee experiences, offered an open mind and sympathetic ear of those needing to speak about their experiences. He was a non-believer for many years, but then he migrated from as a scoffer to a skeptic after experiencing a UFO sighting himself in 1949. A second sighting with his wife in 1956 moved him from skeptic to unwilling believer. In mid-1960s, he was involved in trailblazing research investigating UFO abductions. As a psychology professor and a therapist, over the decades, he has performed more than 500 hypnotic regressions of possible contactees and abductees. Viewed as an authority in the UFO field, he has spoken on this topic on national television and at international conferences. Oh,
sounds well, like shit.
Stand-up guy.
That's the type of dude that we need in the UFO community, man. A psychologist. A prominent psychologist, it seems, a university professor who is not afraid to open his mind, because what do scientists do? They open their minds, man.
There you go. Yeah, we need a man.
You can't stick with dogma. You know what I mean? Because as soon as you're stuck in one thing, you're fucked. You have to be like, hey, you know what? Science is about finding. If science was real, you have to imagine that it would be about trying to find new things.
Right. Here's another little bit. In 1988, Leo had published the PAXT model of abductee/contactee experience based on 24 years of study. It marked out of 5 stages of experiences. Briefly, these were PACTS, PAXT. P meaning preparation, family and cultural experiences of ESP and or spiritual contacts, including childhood visitations by spiritual beings. Abduction, which is UFO sightings and or abduction experiences inducted or initiated involuntarily. C for contact, which is adult visitations included, inducted or initiated voluntarily. T for training, instruction for a mission or a task. And service, which is cooperation with any spiritual being or alien, or which is channeling verbal or written information from them, providing healing, instruction, or assistance.
So what is the system? Somebody came up with this?
Yeah, this is the guy who passed away. He came up with the PAXT system, which involves preparation, abduction, contact. So it's like, okay, so P is be prepared for being abducted. A is for B if you actually are abducted. So that'd be step two. And if you are abducted, you get to step C, which is contact, which means whatever is abducted you will you know, voluntarily interact with you. To which the next step might be T, training. It's them. If you're abducted and they've made contact, then the next step is they might tell you, give you instructions. And then S is service, which is you enacting their instructions. So that's the PAX model of being of the abducted experience. Basically being abducted, that might be your full experience.
Huh. Very cool to see it put out like that. That's interesting, man. This guy seemed like a pretty stand-up dude, and I'm sad he passed, even though I didn't know about his existence.
Yeah, but it's good to keep his memory alive, you know. It's good to, you know, acknowledge him for what he has done for the ufology community, and MUFON seems to, they say, thank you, Dr. Sprinkle, you will be greatly missed.
Unfortunate last name, but I am going to miss him.
Yeah. Let's see. Over the years, as a result of his research, Leo has concluded that UFO activity is a part of an incoming wave of human consciousness, a shift into viewing ourselves not just as planetary persons, but as cosmic citizens.
Good way to think about it, trying to be one with our experience and with our perspectives. Because right now we're all worried about our own problems on Earth and our little itty bitty shits here. But then, like, when you think about it, if this is real, right, the universe, we're going to have to mold our way in there to be some kind of, you know, upstanding race that is worthy of a galactic federation.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe we are on the way there, or maybe it's just wishful thinking. Who knows? And time will tell, I guess.
Guess so, man.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we are approaching our kind of the final quarter of this episode. Anything pressing you needed to talk about? Anything you've discovered this week? Anything you're feeling in particular?
Not really. I don't think so. I'm back in school. So you know how it is, man. My brain is kind of there right now, but I'm good. I don't know. We got to figure out what we want to do for our non-kickback weeks. Like, what do we like? We're open to suggestions. If you guys have something that you want us to cover, please let us know, because we're more than happy. We're open-minded. If it's something spooky or conspiracy or cryptid related, throw it our way.
Yeah, it's been nice to not have to come up with episode ideas anymore, too, because we've just had all these multi-parters and stuff. But yeah, now we're back to it. Now we got to, you know, but like we said, we're open to suggestions, because, I mean, we'll think of something. We're not, like, you know, out of ideas quite yet. But if there's something you're interested in hearing, we'd love to get into it.
Also, apology about how sexually charged this episode was. You know how it is with us. We're boys, right? So sometimes we fucking just start talking about wieners and stuff, and all of a sudden, when, you know, it's like a 20-minute conversation. So hopefully it was okay for you guys. We might cut some of the more in-depth stuff, so you have no idea what I'm talking about. But just know that it was there, all right?
Yeah, and that's a safe bet going into our podcast. If we're talking about something that seems a little like, wait, where the fuck did that come from? Probably because we cut out like a whole 20 minutes of bullshit that was not going to work. Still better than that one time we had to cut a whole episode. That was impressive.
That was the only time we've done that in 2 years.
Yeah. Only once where we're just like, this is not going to work. Like, that was a funny like moment of just like, hey man, you want to just like start over? You're like, yeah.
Oh, that was a good fond memories, man. Fond memories indeed.
Good stuff indeed. Well, thank you all for listening. Kickbacks are always super fun, really chill, really helps us to keep the regular content going without us busting our nuts and not losing sleep and being able to, you know, keep our regular lives functioning. As you know, we do this whole podcast out of pocket, outside of any donations we receive, which are so appreciated. But yeah, I'm glad we were able to kind of get our sillies out this episode, especially all that sexual stuff.
Yeah, dude, I don't know what's up. I don't know what's going on, but we needed that. We needed to talk about it. Our listeners needed to hear it, I'm sure. So, you know, it's fine.
I bet. And maybe you might have learned something. I know I did. So, yeah, we're basically an educational podcast.
Basically, bro. Like, we're like not official, but officially a sex podcast.
True. One of these days, I mean, maybe we should just full tilt into that. I think people would listen to that.
People could write into us about their sex life problems, and we give candid, blunt advice and our opinions on the matter. I think that would be very fun. I think that would be hilarious, and I think maybe it could be fun and useful for both parties.
Yeah, because I mean, at this point, if our kickbacks are 90% that already, we might as well turn the kickback into just a podcast of itself, and they'll just be. Both the podcasts will just be in every other week. So we just update with the sexual stuff. And then the other day we talk about aliens.
Dude, that would actually be kind of fun. Yeah, shit, man. I mean, I'm no fucking you know, sex expert, but I've been around the block. Let's fucking talk about it, man. Let's see what's wrong. What's going on? Yeah. Is there a weird odor? Are you not finishing? There's a disorder for that we could talk about. Let's talk about it, dude.
Yeah, why not? I mean, hey, that could be fun. If this is of interest to you, let us know and we'll see where that goes. But till then, thank you for listening. We are on iTunes. If you could 5-star rate and review, that'd be super, super helpful. Spotify, you could click the follow button. We have new episodes every single Wednesday. Instagram is at CEOTPK. Our YouTube is Close Encounters of the Podcast Con. Our Twitter is at CEOTPK1. Our TikTok is at CEOTPK. Facebook is Close Encounters of the Podcast Con or facebook.com/CEOTPK. All these links and the upcoming links are all on our Facebook. Make it easy for yourself. Don't type it in. Email us at CEOTPK1@gmail.com. Our Discord is discord.gg/lowercase b, number 6, capital C, capital T, number 5, capital M, capital X. Our Ko-fi, if you feel the need to donate, is ko-fi.com/CEOTPK. Any of that money goes right into our hosting. If you have a shout out, if you want to do a small, silly thing or whatever for a couple bucks or $1, doesn't matter, feel free.
Yeah, but guys, like I always say, the just you listening to the show and supporting us that way and interacting with us on our social media is super fun. We appreciate that, you know what I mean? Just only donate if you have the means and if you feel it's necessary. Otherwise, thanks for listening.
Totally, yeah, good stuff. Always enjoyable to do kickbacks, and God knows what we'll do next week, but we got a main episode coming at you.
That's right, guys.
Right on. All right, well, stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you next time.
G-Unit.
Jeez.